Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Vendetta's Wrap Podcast, episode 13. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me this week is not Lesher, but it is Dane joining me for another go-around. So, Dane, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Not as always. Semi-frequently once a year, maybe twice a year, when the challenge happens all the time, year-round. Here I am.
So just to kick things off, I think there's probably some people who don't know who you are, and there's at least one person who does it, because Marcy Koblitz asked, who's Dane? So who are you?
I'm Dane. I'm Brian's friend.
That's really all you need to know. I think this is now your fourth season doing this with me, or annual appearance?
I think this is my fifth podcast.
Fifth podcast?
When you've been podcasting as long as I have been, you stop keeping count.
Yeah, I mean, this is now impressive. Once you get to five times, now you're like a full regular. This is like a thing. So this is all going back. You are an honorary member of the RF community, at least in my mind.
Well, luckily you don't make that decision.
I don't. There was like a March Madness-style bracket for that. I was surprised they even on the board. I'm a 13 seed. So
you're the 13th seed?
I'm a 13th seed, yeah, but I'm on the board at least. So
who are you facing off against?
They matched it all against everyone's co-host, so I'm up against Allie, who's a dominant 4 seed.
You're going to get crushed.
Yeah, I'm going to get... If there's like an actual voting thing, I think I might lose by the biggest margin of any of the matchups. So I'm certainly prepared for that.
I mean, I'd throw you a sympathy vote, but... like Natalie, I got to give that vote to Allie.
Yeah, I probably vote for Allie as well. So I'll go down with the ship. So since this is your first time on this season, we can do a little bit of a retrospective of the entire season as a whole since we're up to the finale next week. So what has been your thoughts on like this format, this cast, any like the weird twists and turns, some of the stuff they've done this season? What has been your sense of the season?
Funny that you asked that. I feel like we really haven't talked about the whole season. Honestly.
No, we haven't. So, what do you got for me?
It's so long. Oh, my God.
See, this one, I thought this one hasn't been that bad. I mean, last season was like 40 episodes. This one, I mean, there was like a weird dragging in the middle, but I think it's been hasn't been as bad as the last couple of them.
Spoiler alert. Oh, to be fair, anybody listening to this podcast hasn't watched the episode. You deserve to be spoiled.
Right.
You have four eliminations. Was that four today? Four eliminations in an episode? Maybe we don't need to focus a whole episode on who wrote the note.
That's true. And the fact that they're going with a finale with eight people with, I think, probably only three or four even casting. So they're going in with a little bit of access than they even needed.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the challenges have been pretty good, I thought. That car one where they had to jump cars might have been the only downer in my mind. The competition has definitely picked up on the show. But
what about the eliminations?
They're okay. The one with the mercenaries, the second time, awful.
Yeah, that was awful. This that was a big swing and a miss.
I don't want to bring up what I thought about this week yet. But, you know, it's been a solid season. Not great, not cuz level.
That's
right in the middle.
I agree. That's a good spot. I think based on like next season, this is supposed to be like the second of a trilogy. So who the hell knows what they're actually looking to build with these shows sometimes. But yeah, I agree. I think right in the middle of the pack, solid season, nothing, some good moments, some draggy moments. The note stuff didn't really give much of a payoff. And there was a big focus on that. So without that, and if they made the episodes eliminations more normalized, I think this could have taken an even step higher.
You know what has also picked it up? More Victor.
You were really
love Victor.
I feel like that's a very controversial challenge opinion, at least.
Well, I like to dabble in Big Brother live feeds. Love Victor, big Victor fan.
What about Natalie? What about her? Your thoughts on her for this season?
Big anti Natalie fan.
There you go. Pro Victor, anti Natalie.
I have to be anti Natalie when my new boy Devin against her.
Yeah. And speaking of Devin, I mean, that's kind of where we pick up with this week, as we see Jemmy going home, which I feel like was almost been a surprise. It was anyone but her finishing last for this week. So Jemmy's the girl to go home. And then for the guys, we see it's between Devin and Kyle. And Kyle seemed to think it was him. I cannot speak. But it is Devin who goes home.
Did you think it was a 5-second difference?
See, I mean, I tended to believe that because why else? I mean, they didn't say like the Jemmy thing was unreasonably close. So I have to imagine.
Because it wasn't. She got crushed.
Right. So I don't think they would just make up it being close. It's because at that point, they don't need to build drama into it. They're just announcing a winner. So I would believe if it's not 5 seconds, I would say it's under 30.
You know me. I tend to put my tinfoil hat on when it comes to these times.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's fair. And so what about for Devin? Because obviously he was like a big, big focal point during the whole Bananas ousting. And then he kind of just goes home in a really anticlimactic way. At the start of an episode, he doesn't even get like the build up towards the end of an episode. He just goes home here. Like, is this a satisfying end for what has clearly been Devin's best showing on the challenge?
I have to say it was fine. He had his moment in the sun already. And it's time for the real players to fight for that money in the final.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the real issue with Devin is as much as people want him to kind of become like this big new star, I mean, this is the downside. He's just not that level of a competitor where people want to toss him in with like a West comparison. But at least West, you know, he was one of the best elimination players going. He's won a few seasons. Like he could talk the talk, but then he could back it up in an elimination. And that is just not something that Devin is really capable of outside of like a fluke type of mental elimination like we saw with him against Bananas. Here, you know, on a mini type final, this is kind of the result we're going to see.
I think West needs to hand Devin his secret stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think we all do. And I think I thought that was kind of where Devin was hinting at when he was saying he was in the best shape of his life for this season. But I don't know. I guess he was a decently better competitor throughout the season. But I mean, this is like the first, like a true, true test of like where you would stand in the final and came in last. And that goes to show how much more work he has to do.
And he lost to the British guy who doesn't know how to refer to himself with I and always says me.
Right. Exactly. So
and
we
is
see
over the moon.
So we see Zach and Nicole as the two winners. And I mean, Zach, you know, it was kind of joked about a few weeks ago when he said like, now, he's now clearly the best player left in the game, the most competitive person left in the game. And since then, he's done nothing but dominate. He wins this one, splitting 25,000 with Nicole. And, I mean, we see from Zach going forward, this is kind of the best showing, both personality-wise and competitive-wise, that we've seen from Zach. What about him for this season?
I was going to say, Zach is clearly having the best season out of anyone on Vendettas. Does he have any Vendettas?
No, I was trying to think about that also. Like, who was someone even going into the season that he was like going against? Him and Jenna are even back on good terms that she was even on this season. So I don't know who his real enemy was. I don't think he even had one.
Yeah, and I mean, the only ones he created were Brittany, and then I guess Brad, based off that goodbye message. But
right.
That was savage.
Yeah, but even like if there was he was never really involved in a house fighting. All the drama he was in was strictly game based, which is kind of refreshing to see him turning on people, which I mean, like whether or not the move is good at the time, at least that's something you can respect. It's not like him being like a misogynistic asshole like he's been in the past. So that's kind of, I mean, I can get behind this version of Zach moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, he's letting Tony take all the heat.
Yep. Absolutely.
This might finally be his breakout moment.
Yeah, 100%. So hopefully for him, I mean, this could be a really good showing for him. So we kind of get this sense of like what everyone wants to do with the money as they go forward. You know, Kara has always talked about building this obstacle course gym. She wants to do that. Brad takes kind of a weird shot, I think, with the ex-wife Hook saying it's going back from the gates of hell. That was kind of a weird thing. Cam wants to donate some to charity. So was there anyone that was kind of like you were giving your full rooting interest behind? Is any of their stories kind of get to you?
None of their stories mean anything to me. None of them. But
of them.
I will say, Cam, she said she wanted to donate to cancer and for an alopecia charity, correct?
I think that sounds right. I couldn't exactly tell what a charity it was, but that sounds right.
Alopecia is what Charlie Villanueva had, I believe. Is that right? Do you know?
I have no idea. Is there some connection between him and Cam that we could find out?
I only ask because instead of donating to either cancer or alopecia, why not just donate to a charity that makes wigs.
That could be work. That could work.
I'm just spitballing here and might want to take that under advisement. I think that would help both charities in a way.
Yeah. I mean, I think she's got a chance to have some money coming through. So, Cam, take note. Take note. That's an option for you.
I care way too much about this show.
So we jump right to the challenge this week. It's called Outside the Box. And I thought, I know you said you weren't like the biggest fan, but I think at least aesthetically, this was one of the cooler challenges to see. I feel like they do something similar to this every year with some type of truck moving around and stuff like that. So yeah, the guy and girl go separately and they have to kind of weave in between poles and they can't hit them and they have to do everything correctly or they get docked points. So it played well. The fact that there weren't that many people, I did enjoy it. So, but you said you weren't a big fan of this one.
Well, you mentioned that they do something like this every year with a truck, a fast moving truck. I don't remember exactly what they do, but I think I've enjoyed the previous years more than this one.
I think, didn't it lose you the last year or 2 years ago? They actually had to jump between the trucks. I remember that. And then they had like optimal buses on top of the truck. I vaguely remember something to do with that.
I think I would have enjoyed this more if that sweet ass coach bus that they took on the way to the airport to, you know, on their way to Czechoslovakia. I wish they did something with that. That was a baller coach bus.
Yeah. The transportation, it's been nice for them. They've done well. They've done well. So
MTV has stepped it up.
Yeah, so TJ's pretty vague a little bit with kind of like the background going into the challenge. He just basically just spells out that the guy and the girl who win book their trip to the final and get split 25,000. But because there's an extra guy and girl, they don't really say what happens to anyone. So the guys and the girls are all just competing kind of blind, just knowing if they win, they're in, but they have no idea what happens if you finish last. They don't know what'll happen if there's a trick or anything. So, I mean, this is not uncommon from the challenge to not explain the rules, but what did you make of them not really explaining what the consequences were for this specific challenge?
I honestly thought I missed it where they, you know, last one is leaving, last one's in the, you know, going straight to the troika. So for me as a viewer, very confusing. As a competitor, I think it's fair. Just don't come in last.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty simple concept.
See, if you want to put on the tinfoil hat, my tinfoil hat says that they weren't sure what they wanted to do, and the fact that a guy finished overall last allowed them to do this. But if, you know, if the girls were finishing last, then maybe they just would have had a double guys elimination, and they would have had like three guys go in and two of them go home or something like that. I think they weren't sure what they're going to do, and I think they were waiting to see how this played out, who would win, who would be third, like what the troika would look like, guys, the girls, and who would finish last. So I don't know if they actually had a full plan about what they were going to do here.
I co-sign that. They never have a plan.
So that's my tinfoil hat. So for who's, I mean, obviously we have Zach did not win. Tony won for the men, Kayla won for the women. So other than those two, anyone stand out for their performances, obviously with Nelson finishing last?
It's Tony time. Got to give him props. I think he's at 40, 50K right now.
Yeah.
Final.
So we have a full rundown of the money. I just shout out to Edward Morris. He kind of gave this out. So for Zach is currently at 39,000. This is on Edward Morris. So if he's wrong, then I'll hate him. Max at 39,625. Tony, 37,125. Nicole, 26,625. Kayla, 20,625. I don't know why are they all ending it. It's so weird. Cam, 19,125. Kyle, 10,625. Cara, 8,750, and Leroy with big fat zero.
Tony seems a bit low. I think he is more.
So, yeah, I mean, I honestly have not been keeping track of money at all. I don't know what purpose it's done since, like, the grenades had no real impact on it. Like, I assume at this point now, all these people have made the final, like, this is their money, and if they finish the final, like, they get to keep this money, and then they're just playing for additional money. But, again, they could be doing it. Who the hell knows with this money, though, because they've been very vague about how they've been dispersing it out.
Very vague, yes. I have to say, about the challenge, I think I realized why I didn't particularly enjoy it.
Why is that?
It was too easy. You can't have 6-7 people finish it. Can't have that.
I agree. I think they underestimated how well everyone would do. The fact that I don't think they were prepared to have that many people go again and go faster. I think they probably should have just done the challenge the way they did the second run. Like, I think that was a pretty good distribution of people doing well, but not like destroying the challenge and making it look easy. So I think just if they just did the challenge the second way through speed, I think that would have been a much better way of doing it.
How fast do you think they were going?
Well, so they said the first time through was 50, and then the next time up they were going faster. I would say 60 or 70. I think they probably went up another 10 or 20 miles an hour. I think going any more than that, you're like getting, I think no matter how soft they made those like pylons, if you're going like 100 miles an hour, you hit anything. That could like really be dangerous.
Now, does this make me mean for wishing that maybe they got like feathered, they hit into those boxes, something kind of embarrassing?
No, I think if they're bringing in the Big Brother people, I think that's something Big Brother would definitely have done of, you know, having like a one pylon be like filled with like what, honey, and the next one be like feathers. Yeah, I think that could have been a fun little twist to kind of spoof on them.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't get a trivia where they fall off anything, so
no?
That could have been a replacement.
So it doesn't. So last but not least, we get two women and one man in a troika for the first time all season. Very exciting to see. So Kara came in third, but I thought I had Kara and I think someone else tied her in points going the second time around, but I'll give it to her. Who cares? Kara comes in third, joins the Tony and Kayla in the troika, and they are forced to make their decision right away. So there's four guys left. Four guys left. Three of them are nominated, and then two of them could be going into elimination. So one guy is just safe. So what did you make of them discussing the girls? We're fully backing the fact that they were not going to say Zach. So what did you make of that decision of Zach being the one that's safe and is really by Kara and Kayla pushing?
Can I just say, I love that we completely glossed over Nelson getting eliminated. You were talking about Devin, that being kind of anticlimactic. Nelson getting eliminated, we're just zooming past that.
Because I was going to get back to Devin going, Nelson going home after this discussion.
Yeah, sure you were.
I don't like narrating too much. This is not my forte. I like the little mix. I like when Allie kind of takes over a little bit more. So that's why she's the 4 seed on the 13. But yeah, so what about Nelson? He goes home. Now Leroy just barely sneaks ahead of him because Nelson does something stupid in elimination, which is not the most unshocking thing of him not following the rules and like going inside a pole instead of outside a pole. I don't fully understand what he did wrong, but it did look weird.
He didn't transfer.
But like, so he was supposed to transfer to the outside pole and said he stayed on the bus or the truck.
Well, you had to weave in and out of the poles. He didn't weave. He didn't, you know, he bobbed when he should have weaved.
Okay. So he picked up, I think he got like 7 point deduction for that. Leroy had 4 points. So Nelson goes home. But again, even when they're going through that, they have no idea what's going to happen. They just, all right, so Nelson, you're last. And they're like, oh, now what's going to happen? And he goes home because
there's
six
no
guys and four girls.
There's no way they knew about the point structure at all.
Yeah, I mean, that was a clear TJ voiceover. We heard one of those as the challenge starting, especially about the big deduction for the weaving in and out. Like, that was clearly of TJ's voiceover. I think they did it twice, too, so that made it even more clear that they probably should explain the rules to these people about how the points go because they had to put that in post-production, which kind of sucks for Nelson, but, I mean, he took it in stride. He wasn't, like, super upset about anything. He just kind of brushed it off.
I love how obvious the TJ voiceovers are.
Yeah.
Only one other show on TV that is way more obvious about it, Designated Survivor.
Oh, well, that's because I gave that. I mean, isn't that like built-in voiceovers? Because I gave that to that show.
Their mouths are not matching the dialogue at least five times an episode. Or they do a weird angle.
I think that might just be like your TV thing. I don't know if that's the show thing.
I watch it, not on my crappy standard definition TV, but on the HD TV. I'm picking all these moves out.
All right. So, so shout out to Designated Survivor, not carrying the audio. Shout out TJ for having the voiceover do the rules. So what about Nelson? I mean, Nelson's kind of a polarizing guy because he has this weird affection for the show. Like, he's a good competitor, but he's also a really bad competitor at times. He's got like a weird personality. He's like a weird dude. Like, I wouldn't be able to pinpoint if I like him or not, which is a horrible position to be as like someone else to talk about this show all the time. But what about you? Where do you fall on the Nelson spectrum?
Truthfully, I had nothing to say about Nelson. I just wanted to bring up that you skipped over him.
I
really have nothing to add with him.
I mean,
he's there.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like he's built a little bit of like a foundation. Like he's, I mean, this is now, I think it's the third or fourth season already, amazingly, coming over from RE to One. So I think, I mean, he seems to be built into the challenge world pretty well. I mean, he's got a collection of exes. He's got some rivals. He's got some like a good collection of people that he could be feuding with going into any type of season, which is a good spot for him at least.
You know what I can say about Nelson? He's not as suave as Corey. He's not as good of a competitor as Hunter. He's not as smart as Devin.
It's a good spot to be. You'd be the worst of all those options amongst like basically your four men alive. So that is Nelson. Too dumb, too not as athletic and not enough personality. There you go.
Can't win.
He's like the bizarro Mega Man. So good for him. So now going back to good job by you. Now going back to the Troika. So they do save Zach. So what about that decision about for Kara and Kayla?
I think that was a great decision by Kara and Kayla. They they should worry about who they want to run the final with. Zach's the clear best option. You need to save him.
And I guess for Tony, do you think he was on board with doing that? Or was like if he had his way, what do you think he would have done?
Tony would have thrown in Zach in a second. It's Tony time. He doesn't have time for Zach.
Yeah. I mean, I think we saw him kind of follow through with that. Going flashing forward to the elimination that we decided to do there. But so, I mean, I think that's a good mindset for him to be in. I mean, like here, we finally got to see girls being in power. And of course, you know, we cut to when Zach is told he's safe and he immediately goes to Tony to thank him. But he had, like, not only did he not have anything to do with it, but he was pushing for him to be voted in. So I'm curious if that word ever gets back to Zach.
So did we finally establish that there needed to be a 3-person consensus on who to throw into the Inquisition? I've wondered that all year.
Yeah, I feel like it varies. I think sometimes it's like they all do agree, and sometimes like everyone gets a vote, and sometimes it's every man for himself. In very typical challenge form, like each iteration of everything they do is different than the next, and you just kind of have to go along with it.
It's great for a game show.
Yeah, so it makes each episode so different.
Yeah.
So, so then we go back to the house that we talked about. We see Brad wanting to provide for his kids at the Inquisition. Everyone giving their pitch. We got Kyle talking at the Tony. So what do you make of each? I mean, this will obviously play a big factor when they actually vote, but watching the Inquisition without knowing the vote, what did you think of each person's tactics going in?
Well, I just want to say I really enjoyed Tony drinking that wine. It was pretty impressive. He's had a lot of it this season, I have to say.
Did he keep the crown from last week from the Burger King? I didn't notice if he was wearing it this week.
He was not. I don't believe
he needs
to keep that crown. He needs to keep that crown, and he needs a gigantic Flavor Flav clock. He needs
both
of those.
Yeah, that's a bad job by him. That could have been like his signature thing to keep the crown on. I don't know why he didn't keep it going forward.
I think Flavor Flav also had a crown, too, at some point. So he needs to basically turn into the challenge version of Flavor Flav. He's going to talk about Tony time.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tony's always been on the track going down the Flavor Flav route, so keep it up.
Yeah. But Brad, I think he kind of knew he was drawing dead. He had to have known he was getting thrown in no matter what. He doesn't have any ties to the two girls, and he knows he's Tony's probably biggest competition in that Inquisition.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Even he knew the way he was kind of going, talking about his kids, the family is going any route he can get. And then, I mean, he said that he would return the favor if he was put in a position. I mean, I guess he meant in a future season, because this was clearly the last elimination before a final, so I don't know when he was thinking about doing that, but I guess he meant going forward for a future season. But yeah, I agree with you. Brad had to know he was not up for discussion about being the one to be saved here.
Brad's back on the circuit. He is ready to throw those favors around.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. He's back in this world, so I guess he could. So for Leroy, this is obviously the big, big, at least in someone in Tony's mind. So Tony eventually says that he thinks Leroy was being super aggressive here, that he was kind of a little bit entitled. Did you get that sense from him, from Leroy, that going forward in the Inquisition, you did?
Yeah, definitely. I hate saying that about my boy Lee, but definitely felt a bit like they owed him something when really he hasn't done anything this season at all to help them.
No, and Caleb points out, like, you know, he voted for her twice, and I don't really get why Caleb then backed off and why he, whatever explanation he gave her, she was like cool with. that was kind of odd for Kayla, who's usually someone who's like, if you scorn her, that's it. She's going to come after you. And here she was ready to just be like, all right, I'll vote anyone. Like, I don't have a strong feeling. And we see she's after someone who looks disabled, right? So that was very odd for Kayla.
Well, I think it's because Kyle is with Kara. Kara, I don't know how to pronounce her name. I'm tired, too. But I can't say names. But I think because Kyle's with Kara, that she was like, yeah, I'll save Leroy. Really, that's all it came down to. Her dislike of Kara.
And then again, I think there's another key moment where if, even going back to the Zach thing, if they knew what the rules of this final would be, I think a lot of people's feelings would be different. And again, especially, you know, when they had the big twist about adding $1 million into the pot or whatever, at least they told them a few weeks before the finals, so that way they can start adjusting whatever game plan that would change. Again, here, I don't know why they wouldn't just tell them like 2 or 3 weeks prior to this and then let them base off those decisions. Because I think Zach would have been in a much different spot if the girls knew that they would actually have to beat Zach in the final and wouldn't just be running with him. And I think even here, I think even Kayla might have been like, yeah, look, we have to take out Leroy instead of Kyle. So I don't, it's another one of the things that's just super frustrating that they didn't tell these contestants the actual rules of the final.
That's a really good point. I have a question for you, though. Do you think Kyle is that much worse than Leroy in terms of final?
I don't. And I actually think, I mean, I think the final crew of guys and girls each have very distinct weaknesses. And I think Kyle is kind of like an interesting person here that he, you know, he's not great at anything we see, but I don't think he's bad at anything. And I think that could be the biggest key for him. And that's why he is someone who could be dangerous in this final. Because, you know, we've seen from Zach, we've seen from Tony, we've seen from Leroy, spoiler alert, Leroy will eventually win this elimination, about what they could lose or be their big downfall in a final. And for Kyle, I think he might be the most dangerous because he could just be sufficiently average at everything.
I'll say this. What's Leroy's biggest weakness?
Swimming. Yeah.
And it seemed like Kyle is a good swimmer because they tied up his legs. So if you're basing it off that, may not want to be in a swimming challenge with Leroy. That could cost you a win.
Yeah. But, I think that's totally fair.
I do think Kyle is an awful runner. As Leroy pointed out, he's gassed out twice on the mountains.
Yep. So, I mean, I think each person is going to be a very interesting place depending upon what type of final it is, how pairings are going to work. And like, it's just because, I mean, that's another thing for a challenge final. There are usually, I mean, there's similarities, but there's also some key differences about what might matter. I mean, if there's no swimming component at all, and it's maybe just like a rowing thing, I think that greatly favors Leroy, but who knows what these finals are going to look like.
But I don't think it matters. Zach's the clear favorite anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the favorite, but, I mean, we saw from his last final appearance, he almost died doing this, so who knows?
He just won that last challenge with up running up the mountain. I think he's moved beyond that.
Yeah.
He's cut his hair, he's more aerodynamic.
Of course, that plays a huge factor.
Physics is on his side, Brian.
Yes, so for the elimination, so we get the voting, so Kara... looking to see, instead of kind of going like the Survivor finale route, instead of voting to vote someone out, they're voting to keep someone in. So Kara votes to save Kyle, and Kayla votes to save Leroy, putting the onus on Tony. And this is where he gives his little spiel about, you know, going in, he was going to save Leroy, but then he felt his aggressiveness at the Inquisition kind of turned him off, made it beyond title. So he's now choosing to save Kyle instead. And this sends Leroy off. I now think, even going back to when he had to deal with like Adam in like the Real World Vegas, I don't think I've ever seen Leroy this upset before. And it's like stunning to see. So what did you make of Leroy's reaction here about calling Tony out for just not saying, you know what, I want to go up against Kyle in a final, and that's why I'm doing it?
Did Leroy go a bit over the top? Arguably. But Tony's line is a crock of bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I admit. You wanted Kyle in the final. That's fine. Admit it. Don't play that. Don't play Leroy for a fool.
And of all people, I think Leroy would be the one who would totally understand it, because that's always been his position. We constantly see him in confessionals whenever someone might be hurt or so, like another big competitor goes home. He's like, yeah, I mean, I guess they're my friend, but, you know, get out of the way. I want to win. So I think of all the people who were thought of as, like, the big competitors, I think telling Leroy, you know what, I don't want to go against you in the final. I'd rather go against Kyle. He would 1,000% be on board with it. So it's a weird move for Tony to kind of, like, play, go half measure, half foot in. Like, just say what you're doing. And it's weird. But for Leroy, I mean, I think he's just clearly just butthurt here. I mean, I think he just thought he had his place in the final, and now he has to battle out against a really tough competitor in Brad, and he was just super pissed.
Leroy definitely, the salt was pouring through him.
Yep.
But I mean, for Lee, but also, I mean, he understands it's a game, but treat him as a friend. Seems pretty, you know, Leroy understands, like, when somebody goes home, like you said, that's good for me. But just treat him like a friend, and everything's all good. He doesn't get that pissed off.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, you said it. Like, it's not the move. It's just, like, just be honest. Like, I would totally be cool with it. You just say you're voting in me because you want to keep Kyle. 1,000% fine. Just, like, stick to series. I think Tony has gotten so in his head about, like, being, like, this gamer and feeling like he may have to, like, lie to people, where sometimes the move is just to tell the truth, especially knowing who you're dealing with. And for Leroy, the move is just to tell the truth. And I think Tony got in his own head.
The word you're looking for to describe Tony is cocky.
Yeah.
He has a smirk on his face all the time now. And I'll be honest, I don't like it.
Yeah, you know, it's all right. We actually, I thought the way you were talking about Tony Simon, I thought you would be on board with this version of Tony. Do you not like it? Because this is going to be a hell of a... All right, Fabian... Oh, I can do this. Fabian Jimenez says, do you think that Tony is being overly confident and obnoxious? He seems like a sore winner. Do you think he's the sore winner version?
He clearly is, yeah. It was fun earlier this season with Tony Time when, you know, he was such a screw-up. No, he's winning. He's, you know, he's climbing his way up. Tony hasn't won shit yet. He's won nothing. Maybe relax a bit. I don't know. You don't need to be smirking all the time. You're still the second best guy there behind Zach.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure he was better than Brad. So
you
pump the brakes.
Yeah, I mean, this is clearly someone who's just been, like, dying to do well at these, and now that he's doing well, he just doesn't know what to do with himself. I think it's like a giddiness carrying over into cockiness, and now he just doesn't know what to do with himself. He's just so into himself, so happy with how things are going this season, finally for him. Both in every version possible. So he's just so in his head about just overly enjoying it to the verge of now being overly confident and cocky.
Definitely. And I have to say, I don't want to give her a pass. Cara Maria. I think that's why Leroy was pissed at her too. Say, you're sleeping with Kyle. I want to continue that relationship. Don't try and make it seem like Kyle has heart. That's why I'm picking him. Leroy doesn't have any heart. None at all.
It's tough. I don't know if I'm gonna guess that they're not together. I don't know this for a fact, but I would assume Carr and Kyle are not together, and it's kind of an interesting move. I mean, we saw Kaylee not back Nelson because she felt it wasn't to her game's best interest. Obviously that did not go well for, like, Nelson and, like, their relationship, but for Carr, I figured she would look to choose her game over and even a long-standing friendship over this. But I don't know if this move even benefits her. Like, if she's thinking, like, I want to run with someone who's strong, she might think she's out of run with Leroy, but instead just choosing to save Kyle because of the sleeping with him situation. So it's a weird move for Kara here too, depending upon what her actual motivation is.
I kind of wish Leroy had a lot of money banked up just so that he could start throwing the final when he's paired with Tony and or Kara. It's like, I already made my money. Good luck, guys.
I think Leroy is too prideful for that
person.
Yeah, too prideful for that.
He loves the money too, but
so I was kind of unexpected, but here we get a real. I mean, I feel like we see this a lot though. The elimination before a final is usually between two pretty big heavyweights, and here we get Leroy and Brad actually doing like a heavyweight elimination that's called Headbanger. They have to break through walls, they have to break through fences, and then they have to break through like an oversized punching glove to get a little ball and put in the cup. Is basically the way I read this challenge. So, I mean, it wasn't like a true physical one-on-one battle, but it's definitely a physical version of an elimination, which is good to see.
It was also a shit show of an elimination.
Yeah, I mean, I think it seemed like two punches in, Brad's wall falls over. I mean, we got Brad's gloves breaking. So, I mean, of all the Karma stars, I guess, you know, Brad finally not his end of the stick here, because this did not work out for him.
They I love how MTV just decided, oh yeah, you knocked down the wall, didn't break through it. Go ahead, Brad.
It's very yeah. I don't know why it wasn't like a let's pause and reset, because like you have to break through the wall, can't just knock it over. So that was very odd. Very odd when his gloves broke, things wouldn't be fixed. This is a run of a box challenge elimination that seemed good, but like just the execution, it wasn't like properly planned for. It seemed like.
Did you even know that the tiny ball was inside that big glove? Because I had no idea.
No, I thought they had to punch through the fence again. I didn't know what
that's
was happening on the last thing. And then all of a sudden,
I
he throws out a little ball, puts it in the cup.
I thought it was some sort of like Plinko thing where you're punching something in the wall and you're taking out a ball. If it's there, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was like
great.
Break through like your wall and get to like the other side or something like that. But like, I guess there was a little ball at the end. So, I mean, Leroy harnessed the anger from Tony. At least that's Tony's version of it, and gets the big elimination win and sends Brad home.
I like how Tony's taking the credit for Leroy winning that.
Yeah, I mean, everything Tony does is Tony time, no matter even if he's not involved.
Yeah, and Cam and Leroy, I like how we had that little snippet of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a full-fledged couple, at least in post-life, it seems like, and I think this was kind of the first hint of it. They call themselves Cam Roy, which is fun to say. So, good for them.
Yeah, good for Leroy.
Yeah.
And Cam. I like them both.
Sure. Root for happiness.
Yeah. And I like how Kayla wormed her way over for a hug.
Yes, she did. And I mean, I think Leroy's real anger. She like he was mad at Carl, but I feel like the real anger was to Tony, and that
no, he's
thing set up for the final.
He's definitely pissed at Kara.
It seemed like he was like, maybe he was hiding it a little bit more. I feel like the real anger was directed to Tony. Maybe because Tony was the more outlandish one as it was going on, but I felt like that's where the anger was. More direction.
I think it's also a male-female thing. He just didn't want to be yelling at the female either, really. He knows it's not a good look.
That's fair.
By the way, you know who, not to bring this all back to one person, but you know who this really hurts in the future?
Cool.
Bananas.
The fact
who are his allies?
Yeah, I mean, I think he just has Leroy, right? That's really it.
I mean, he was working with Leroy and Kara, but now apparently they're going to be vendettas or rivals or whatever the hell MTV comes up with.
Right.
And so who knows? Maybe it is Tony time in the future.
Yeah, because, I mean, sure, you're not going to see, I don't know if they're all on next season or the season after that. Yeah, like Leroy, Bananas, and Tony are not going to be a trio that are going to be working together because they all have strong hatred amongst each other. Yeah, so like the little group kind of had of veterans is really starting to split apart.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Derek and Brad join up in a little veteran click move. I don't know.
Who knows? So Will Simon asks, now that he's out, how does Brad's return after a long hiatus compare to the returns of Derek, Darrell, and all the other big-time vets that have come back?
I never liked Brad, really. So, not as well.
Did
you really like Brad?
I think he's good in the fact that at least he's a good competitor, which is kind of good to see. And I mean, it was weird. He had like such a big impact the first couple episodes, and then he's been very calm and quiet ever since, which is not a version of Brad we're used to seeing.
He's a quiet crazy. You need to watch out for those.
I think
I
we
have
can
to
agree.
Say, Brad's best moment though was getting knocked out by Darrell.
So. Oh, going way back. Yeah.
Well, I only bring that up because we missed an opportunity for them to face off against each other last year.
Yeah, that could have been fun to say. Yeah, they could have done a little clip montage of them. I think we're power ranking all the people coming back. Alton is definitely left on whatever list you're trying to create.
Yeah, that's a pretty good call.
So, all right. So now we got the eight people all set for the final, but once again, they still don't know the rules. But Tyler Morton Carbo asks, please power rank the top four men and women by most likely winners. So I guess we should do a top eight, right? Since it's not really top four men and women.
We could do a top eight, I guess. I don't think it matters. The fact that one, everyone else is on a different tier.
So who would you put at the most likely two spots? So for the eight people, so we got for the guys, Zach, Tony, Leroy, and Kyle. For the girls, Nicole, Kayla, Cam, and Kara.
Should we just rule out who we, should we go from bottom up?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Let's just do guys and girls, because that's probably that's
yeah,
probably easier. Sorry, so top four girls. Top four
too
girls.
Many for me to follow.
Yeah, so top four guys. I think I agree with you. I think Zach is the clear number one going in. And so who would you put 2, 3, 4? Because I do think it's interesting about where you would shuffle those four, both three, I should say.
I'm going to put Leroy at 2.
You are.
I don't think there's going to be much swimming. They're in Czechoslovakia. Looks cold. I don't know.
Okay.
I think he's angry, too. An angry Leroy, I mean, you don't want to see Leroy come out of an elimination angry. I feel like you're in trouble. You've got motivation now.
Yeah, I mean, I think, so this is what Leroy's, this is his second final? Like, I think his first since the first season he was on, right? Like, was he in a final after that?
Third
after
final.
After Rivals?
Third what final, right? One with Mike, and then one with Naya, who became Teresa.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he made. Yeah, that's right. When Naya got sent home and then Teresa. Okay, so that's all right. So third final for Leroy. So this is Zach's third. Obviously, Tony's first. Nicole's second, I think. Kayla's first. Cam's first. Kyle's first. Cara's, I don't know, like seventh. Or
exactly. Yeah.
So,
who knows?
So the girls, obviously, Cara has the big, big vet advantage. The guys, it's kind of, I mean, Zach and Leroy kind of have a little bit of advantage, but there's no big, big, overwhelming veteran final, at least, experience. So that's an interesting
thing. Yeah, that sounds about right.
So would you put Kyle fourth, or would you put...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think, I agree Kyle has to be fourth. I think I would put Tony second, Leroy third, but I think the gap between 2, 3, and 4 is pretty small. Like, I could see Kyle beating one of Tony or Leroy, and I would not be super surprised.
So the reason, do we know Tony is a good runner?
I mean, he didn't do, I mean, at least he didn't finish last in that other challenge. It's hard to judge exactly because we just haven't seen him in this type of big spot.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just tough for me. I'll go Leroy getting pissed off. It gives him the edge for me.
Yeah. So what about for the girls? Would you put Cara number one?
Has to be Cara number one. Has to be.
I think so. And for what about Nicole, Kayla, and Ken? How would you shuffle those three?
Oh, man. I feel like this is a tough one.
It's super tough because I think in a vacuum, I would want to put Nicole second, but there's always such a crucial, at least one, if not two, type of puzzle component. And that is like such a fatal flaw for her that I would almost consider putting her third, maybe third, fourth, because that just killed her last time.
I'm going to put her fourth.
Yeah.
The puzzle thing is such a killer. You know there's going to be at least one, at least.
Yeah, and I think if you're going down this rabbit hole thinking there's not that much swimming, then I think I would put Cam second.
I think I'd put Kayla second. She has a lot to prove.
Yeah, I mean, I think I put Kayla. I'm worried about her when she gets stressed and like there's a big moment, whether it's like an eating thing or if it's a puzzle thing and she feels stressed. I could see kind of the moment getting like she could feel overwhelmed and like just bugging out. So I'm worried about her in this type of situation, keeping her composure. And I think for Cam now, you know, she's battled two quote unquote champions in eliminations. I think that's a good test for her. So I think she's going to handle this pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, it's splitting hairs between all of them.
And yeah. I think it'll be close.
One person on top, 7 people.
So it's kind of a shame. I wish they were just doing 4 men and 4 women. Cause I think all the battles would be pretty close. And then I think it's just a bummer that I think Zach is clearly the dominant force going in, that I'm worried he just, I mean, I'm sure the edits to make it seem close, but I think he may run away with it.
I think he has to run away with it.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. And then, I mean, we'll have to see how, like, I mean, I ran through the money before. It'll be very interesting how that plays. And then spoiler for anyone who doesn't watch the preview, so quick out of this, but did you see the preview for the final at all?
I actually did. Only reason I did is because of the after show add-on time. You know
yeah,
I mean, about the previews.
Yeah, well, I mean, in an odd moment, I mean, Bananas and Melissa are somehow in the final in some capacity. Obviously, they're not competing in the final, but maybe there's like, they just have to, each competitor has to get through them at some checkpoint or something like that. I don't know what they're doing or why they're back, but
maybe they're there to
Melissa
give a riddle.
Maybe. It's a very weird situation to put. I mean, it's a weird combo. Like, I mean, if they wanted to bring, like, two of, like, the stronger people back from the season, then it's weird to have it be, like, Bananas and then Melissa. Why wouldn't they just like, have it at least be someone who, like, just got eliminated? So the whole situation is weird. I don't know what MTV is going for there. But we should see how they factor into the final.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Melissa couldn't get back to the UK, and Bananas is essentially a producer anyway, and he's just stuck around.
Yeah. So that's not many other. Yeah, no other questions. No Twitter stuff for this week. So I think we're kind of in agreement. We think this is Zach to lose, and if he does lose, I mean, if you say who would, if he loses, like if Tony's or Leroy, who would you put, or even Kara? Who would you say?
I put Kara.
You say Kara would be most likely to win.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, that would be super impressive if she could pull it off. Yeah, I think if it's not Zach, I would only say Tony just for editing purposes. I think this is kind of like been building towards him winning. I don't know, the challenge isn't as big as like other shows like a Survivor about building towards a winner getting a good edit, but I think I would go him if it's not Zach.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
I just got a Venmo update.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. For anyone who doesn't know, I owe Brian $100.
And
I can't know him.
Is Venmo now working?
This is real riveting podcast right here.
Well, as you look to that, you know what you can use that $100 for? If you were looking to get into a new bottle of wine. Because if you don't know where to start, you use Wink. That is WINC. Wink makes it easy to discover great wine. Because Wink's wine experts like wine match to your taste and it's personalized for you, and it's shipped right to your door, it is the perfect situation to find new bottles of wine. It starts at just $13 a bottle. There's nothing like coming home to a box of delicious wine selected right for you by Wink. Just fill out Wink's palate profile quiz, answer a few simple questions that any average store clerk will give you, and it gives you a good recommendation. They ask you something like, how do you like your coffee, or how do you feel about certain foods and vegetables? So Wink will send you wines curated to your taste. Each month, there are new delicious wines, so that your options are fresh and personalized. There are no membership fees. Skip any month and cancel any time. Discover great wine today. Go to trywink.com/MTV. You'll get $20 off your first shipment, which means if you owe someone $100, now look at that. You can use $20 of that $100 right to it. That's trywink.com, trywink.com/MTV, trywink.com/MTV.
That was a B plus.
Yeah, I think I'm getting better.
You stumbled a bit after vegetables.
You know what the problem is? Like, wink and wine are so close that, like, I want to say one and then I say the other. And it's like, I'm sure that's the point of, like, the name is very close. But when you have to say both, it's a tongue twister.
Especially when you can't read or talk.
Yeah. It's a big problem.
Yeah.
It's a big problem.
For you,
I'm sure the listeners want to know, is your Venmo now working?
I'm fucked.
You're what?
I'm fucked.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll fuck that out offline. We'll be back next week. The finale, Allie will be back. And she is actually a little bit of a busybody, too, because she was on the B&B with Mike Bloom, as I stumble over more words because I just cannot talk to you. She's on with Mike Bloom and Leanna Boris, the Airbnb. And she's also hopping on the RuPaul Drag Race podcast with Brent and Mike as well. So if you're missing your daily dose of a weekly dose of Allie, you can check her out on those two spots. She'll be back next week for the finale. You can subscribe at robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Follow me at @CohenBrian_. And where can people follow you?
Brian, this is five times. You should know to have my Twitter handle by now.
Okay, I asked Allie.
I don't know it.
Obviously, I know where the people can find her. I'm saying for you to plug your own Twitter.
I don't even know where to find my own Twitter.
I think it's like DanerSun25. If not, you definitely can't find them on Venmo, obviously, because that's a big problem. But you can look DanerSun25, or just, you know, don't know. And then when he comes back next season, someone will ask him to Dane. So we'll cross that bridge then. So we'll be back next week before the finale. Thank you, Dane, for filling in this week. Until then, have a good one.